This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Wednesday, September the 12th. Thanks so much for tuning into the show today. As a reminder, the greatest thing that you can do for this show, the biggest contribution that you can make is to, if you're listening on an Apple device, which 65 or 70% of you are, to go over to the review section of iTunes or the Apple Podcast Store and leave a review. You know, if you like what it is that you're hearing, click 5 stars, click write a review, and then just spend 90 seconds just writing down kind of how this podcast has helped you. There's been some really nice reviews that have come in lately. It's obvious this podcast is helping. So that would be a big help if you could help the show out with that. So, you know, I got some great feedback from last week's episode with Kelsey Graham. It's gotten, it was actually the highest single download day for one episode in the podcast's history. And I talked to Kelsey a few days ago. Her husband's getting ready to get deployed for a tour. So she is kind of off social media, checked off of social media for a little bit. But I'm actually going to hopefully be meeting her at the end of October. My family and I are taking a trip down to San Diego. So thank you so much, Kelsey, for joining the show last week, talking about all of the different challenges that you've had throughout your life. It was a really cool cool set of stories. So today, some of the stuff that we're going to be focusing on. So I've got a short agenda. Basically, I want to talk about August results, why it was the best month in the podcast history, go through some of the demographics and download stuff, things like that. I'd love to be transparent with the audience and let you know kind of what's going on. I want to talk about preparing for the worst. It's a phrase that I've heard a lot in my life. It's a phrase that I hear people say a lot. I think it's certainly worth talking about. I want to talk about random acts of kindness. My buddy Gary Cantrell, you can check out his podcast. It's definitely fitness related, but it's also like a lifestyle podcast. But the Gary Cantrell podcast on iTunes, you can find it. But he was talking about random acts of kindness recently. I just want to touch for a couple minutes on that. And then I want to close with why TMS is actually a good thing. You know, it feels really shitty when you're going through it, of course, but in actuality, I think of it as a good thing, and I'm going to talk about why that is. So without further ado, let's kick the show off and start with August results. So 2,523 listens the show got. Now, the company that I use, the company that hosts this podcast, like the hosting service, they don't give download statistics, which initially when I had bought this, I thought it was a bad thing. But then really realizing that downloads don't mean much of anything, because when you subscribe to a podcast, you get an automatic download, but you may not even listen to the episode. So I actually like the listens better. So 2,523 listens to the podcast, which I think is awesome. When I look at the top shows, so Jeanette Barber, which aired on August the 8th, came in with 430 listens. Jennifer Hintenberger, which aired August 1st, came in at 318. The pep talk that I gave you all from August 15th came in third place, 293 listens. Fourth place was Michael Galinsky from August 22nd. That came in with 263 listens. And then Who Can and Can't Heal from Chronic Pain, which I did on August the 29th, came in fifth. And then some of the stragglers after that, Dr. David Hanscom from July 18th came in sixth. And then Steve Ozanich from January 3rd of 2018 came in seventh. So really cool to still see these episodes getting so much traction, so much love, even months after they originally aired. When I scroll through a little bit further and I look at the countries that that had listenership, now the service I use, they only give me 21 countries. So there were listens in more than 21 countries, but the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Sweden, Portugal, Slovenia, Indonesia, Spain, the Netherlands, South Africa, India, Slovakia, Belgium, the Faroe Islands, Japan, Norway, Qatar, and Israel. And I think Qatar and Israel are both new, which is cool to see more new places. Slovakia might be new as well. So I'd have to go back and check. But as far as devices, it looks like 84% of people are listening to this on a mobile device, 10% on a desktop, and then 6% on a tablet, which is kind of cool to see that too. As far as platforms, 74% listen on Apple Podcasts, 17% listen on the web, 4% listen on some kind of app that was undefined, 2% listen on Spotify, and then there's CastBox, Overcast, Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, all had downloads as well, or listens as well. As far as demographics, this is probably the most interesting category that I think about, but the biggest amount of listenership came from the 45 to 54-year-old demographic. Second place was 35 to 44. Third place was 25 to 34. Fourth place was 55 to 64. And then fifth place was the 65 and over crowd. So kudos to you. If you're over 65 and you're listening to podcasts and you're listening to podcasts about this and it's giving you some hope, I applaud you. Good job. So as far as gender, 65% of listeners are female. Just a few months ago, that number was flip-flop. 35% were female and 65% were male. So it seems like the messaging, either the messaging is reaching, is connecting with more female listeners and they like the content, or it means that more females are suffering from TMS. And I know that fibromyalgia is a lot more prevalent with females. And I think that thoracic outlet syndrome is also much more prevalent in females. So I would say for the odds of them getting psychosomatic illnesses are probably better in that relation, because we know that fibromyalgia and TOS are both manifestations of TMS. So it's interesting when you look at some of these statistics and kind of how they shake out. So really the most popular crowd is the 45 to 54-year-old female demographic, seems to be the meat and potatoes of the show. So if you fall in that demographic, thanks so much for listening. okay, so let's get into preparing for the worst. So this is something that I hear people say a lot, and it's a practice that I've had for so long, and it's one of those conditioned things that I'm trying to back out of. But I hear my wife talk about it with our daughter. Like, for instance, if we take our daughter to go and get a shot, preparing her for the worst and having her go in that way. And I think that in sales, a lot of times, if you're in sales, Logan Downing is a listener of the show. He's in sales. I'm in sales. A lot of people are in sales probably that listen to this show. But a lot of times when we're going into a deal or a contract phase, we start thinking about what are the bad things that can happen. And I think a lot of times we feel that way as well. If you think about some of the people that get TMS, a lot of people that get TMS, it's not only the people that are in that age of responsibility, but the elderly too, because the unconscious rage surrounded with mortality is very, very large as well. You may be anticipating for the worst. So why is it that we prepare for the worst? And I think that the reason that we prepare for the worst is so that we're not let down in case things don't go great. If we prepare for the worst, if we prepare for riding a motorcycle, so I got a buddy, he rides a motorcycle. I don't even think he listens to this, but he rides a motorcycle and he tells me how nervous he is when he goes on the road. I ride a motorcycle as well. I took a great 8-hour ride with my buddies on Friday, but he drives a motorcycle and he says that he's nervous. Every time he gets on the road, he's sort of anticipating a crash. He doesn't even ride on the freeway. And I just feel like, you know, what's the point? And I guess that the thought is that if I prepare for getting on a crash on the freeway and then it doesn't happen, then I'm in good shape. Guys, I just want to be as blunt with you as possible, because I know that people that have TMS, especially as you have chronic pain and you've experienced it for a long time, you're sort of programmed to start thinking about the worst. I'm going to wake up feeling terrible. I'm going to go to bed feeling terrible. Things in my life aren't going well, and they're going to continue to be even more terrible. I'm not one of these overly positive people. I don't believe in the positive vibes only bullshit that you see on Instagram and social media, hashtag positive vibes only. However, I do think that preparing for the worst is bad. I think preparing for what is realistic is good. And I think that waves of confidence are also very good. And I think that they can only do good things for you, good things for your physiology, good things for your mental state. You don't need to sit around and smile all the time and think that all things are going to be great all the time. You know, positive. I don't necessarily think that positive emotions will overtake you on TMS, but I do think that having a doom and gloom attitude all the time and expecting bad things to happen to you, you're just inviting changes in your body chemistry and changes in the way that you feel. And ultimately, you're laying the groundwork for chronic pain. I was thinking about, somebody put a post on Facebook in one of these TMS groups a couple weeks ago, might have even been last week, but they were talking about negative self-talk and basically like everything sucks, you know, that kind of an attitude. And when I think back to when the bottom really fell out for me and my health issues a couple of years ago, a lot of it was around me saying, like, it literally took maybe 3 to 6 weeks of me saying that a lot of situations sucked and this is bad and I'm a victim and all this kind of stuff for my body to really just respond in such a negative way. Again, knee pain, then sciatica, then back pain, then neck pain, stomach problems, like all these things just cascading and you know, rolling all together. And then once you get stuck, I mean, once you get beyond that 6 to 8 weeks of chronic pain, your body is in such a subconscious condition that it's very, very tough to get out of it. But it is curable, obviously. I mean, we know that some people cure just from reading John Sarno's books, and then other people take a long amount of time. And my thought is actually that though TMS is curable, I think for the rest of your life, you are always going to be thinking about, you're going to be cognizant of the fact that when you have sensations in your body, that is, it's a manifestation of unconscious emotions or stress or whatever it is that you want to call it. And I think that that's okay. Neural pathways are permanent. As Dr. Hanscom said on the podcast about a month and a half ago, they are permanent, but that doesn't mean that they have to manifest. That doesn't mean that they have to show up for you, because the other neural pathways that can also be created that are permanent are non-pathways, play pathways, ones where you don't have pain. And what you're trying to do is get your nervous system to divert its attention over to the good neural pathways, the ones that are not causing pain. Ultimately, that's the cure for TMS, is getting into that frame of mind. With that being said, you may also relapse, and it's probably going to happen. You're probably going to get sensations of, sensations of pain. But the thing that you need to do to make it not come back, or at least not stick around for a long time, is just be recognize the fact that it is psychosomatic. Dr. Sarno said in the All the Rage film that he's probably had more psychosomatic reactions than any of his patients, right? So this is a guy who cured hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people of chronic pain in his career, and he's still curing them today. However, he was somebody that relapsed frequently, and frequently enough for him to talk about it. But he was cured ultimately, pain-free, right? I still have moments where things are happening and I get tightness in my stomach, or I get tightness in my neck, or I get tightness in my back. But as long as I don't go to a foam roller, or I don't go to a doctor, a chiropractor, anything like that, usually it's going to wear off in anywhere between, let's say, 3 minutes. Might take the rest of the day, but it just kind of depends on what is it that I'm repressing. And the faster that I say to myself, okay, like, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? The faster that it tends to go away. So I think that that's an important thing to think about and consider, preparing for the worst. I think that it's one of the really negative things that you can do, preparing for the worst. It does absolutely nothing for you. It does nothing to help you. I would say just stay away from that, as much as you can. So, random acts of kindness is the next thing that I want to talk about. So my buddy, this doesn't really have any TMS relation, but we are about feeling good here, and that's ultimately what we want, right? We want to be able to feel good. So my buddy Gary was talking about a random act of kindness that he did for somebody at an amusement park recently, and it made me think back. So I'm a big professional wrestling fan. I've talked about it. Caitlin Michaels has talked about it on her podcast when she interviewed me on the Mind Body Mastery. But I was thinking back to when I was in New Orleans earlier this year. And I went to go, and I was asking for something. I was trying to pay for something. It was like $4. And I didn't have any cash, right? Because, like, who the hell carries cash now? I do, however, now always remember to keep $5 or $10 in my wallet at all times because of this incident. But I didn't have $4 cash. I couldn't get what I wanted to buy. And I was like, okay, do you take a card? And she said, no, that they only take cash. I was like, is there an ATM here? And she said, oh, well, it's on a different floor, but they're all out of money. And I'm like, okay, so maybe I'll run down the street to an ATM and go grab some money. And she said that this thing was going to be closed, you know, in the next 10 minutes, so I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I'm like, okay, so, it was something that I had previously purchased, and I was coming to pick it up, and I wanted to get an add-on for it, which was $4 or something. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just shit out of luck then, basically. And the woman behind me overheard it, and she paid for it and said, you know, no problem and stuff. And I just thought that, I mean, it was $4, right? But it was just the nicest thing that it was one of the nicer things that I can remember somebody doing for me, because it was a total stranger, didn't have to do it, you know, certainly didn't have to at all. And what's strange is that a couple days later, I was at WrestleMania in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and I don't know, there was 78,000, 80,000, 85,000 fans, something like that there. And I'm walking out of my section and I spotted two people. I spotted Mickey Gall, who's a UFC fighter, which was very, very strange. Didn't have my phone on me, couldn't take a selfie, which damn it. But the other one that I saw was this woman who loaned me $4 2 days before. I thought that was so awesome. And I had cash with me, and I paid her, you know, I'd tap her on the shoulder, I'd pay her back. She kind of doesn't remember who I am. I'm like, I'm from WrestleCon. You gave me $4. She gave me a big old hug, and you know, it was cool to be able to close the loop on that. And as far as random acts of kindness, so like, not only did that make me feel good that somebody really helped me out, but one random act of kindness that my daughter and I do when we're in the line at Starbucks, we do it usually either Saturday or Sunday morning. Sometimes we do it both. But when we're in line, we're in our car, we're in the drive-thru, I'm getting coffee for my wife. And I'll say, what did the person behind me get? And they'll tell me. And as long as it's not something crazy, like 15 drinks or something like that, I'll buy their drink. I don't want them to pay me back or even know who I am. And then I drive away. But I just get this good feeling of satisfaction. It's, you know, a $2, $3, $4 drink. But it's something that makes me feel really good to do that. And, you know, call it like self-gratification or whatever it is you want to call it, showing off, you know, whatever floats your boat. But ultimately, I love doing that because it's a small little gesture, but I bet that the look that happens on the face of the person that arrives at the window when the barista says, oh, the person in front of you got it. Like, think about how good that would make you feel. And hopefully that they'll pay it forward to and pay for the person that's behind them as well. Like, that's the intent. So so we got that. All right, guys, we're 15 and a half minutes through, and this is going to be a shorter podcast. There's no interview this week because you are getting a hell of an interview next week, and I'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. But I want to talk about why TMS is actually a good thing. You know, we hate the fact that our bodies seem like they've turned on us, and, you know, that's sort of what we think. There's a documentary or a movie that's being worked on about Dr. Howard Schubiner and a group of people in chronic pain. And there's some woman in the movie that says something along the lines of, so you're telling me that my body is turning against me or something like that, or has a plan against me. It's something along those lines. And Dr. Schubiner laughs and says, yes, exactly. Because that's really what it is, right? Like your body is sort of revolting against you for things that have gone on in the past or thoughts that you have at a subconscious level. Here's why I think TMS can be a very good thing. You know, a lot of times I think that people just have no barometer of how they're feeling. And there's so much conditioning that is done from the time that we're born all the way through adulthood. You know, you go to work and your boss makes you really, really mad. Like, that's the boss. You don't say anything. So you repress. Your kid acts like a piece of shit and they break something of yours, or they run away at the park or whatever the case is. And you don't get really upset because that's just not what parents do. So you repress. There's examples of this happening all the time. Your spouse and you get in a fight about something and you just walk away. And thus, you're repressing, right? What TMS really is it's a barometer. It's a barometer of what it is that you're feeling inside. And so I know that when I get sensations, Christy Weepy on this podcast said a few months ago or a few weeks ago, I really love what's going on in my body right now. And what she meant by that is that, you know, when she gets these sensations, whether it be, you know, wrist, ankle, back, neck, whatever it is, that there needs to be some kind of attention paid to yourself. And my thought is that people that have TMS have an amazing mind-body connection. The fact that they are feeling, the fact that you are feeling things in your body as a manifestation of unconscious stress and unconscious emotions, you should be applauding yourself for that, because there are a lot of people that are really so disconnected with themselves and so disconnected with their body that they really don't know. They don't know how to react in situations. They fight or flight, right? Like that's the deal. And they, you know, some people get anxiety, some people get depression, some people get physiological symptoms in their body. But ultimately, you should be proud of the fact that whatever it is that you're feeling, even if it's at an unconscious level, if you get some back pain or some neck pain or some wrist pain or shoulder pain or whatever the case is, like, that is your body telling you something. You need to attend to it in some way. And 99% of the time, I believe, unless you have cancer, infection, things like that, which we've gone over, but I believe that 99% of the time, if you get a physical sensation in your body that hurts, you know, something hurts, it's really your mind is telling you something. You need to attend to yourself. And whether that means meditation or yoga or just stopping and asking yourself, what am I feeling right now? Taking a walk, you know, doing something, you're going to pay tremendous dividends to yourself. And the more repetition that you have of this, the more memory that you have of this, the better off you're going to be. Whereas if your back starts to hurt and you rush to make a chiropractor appointment, or you rush to make a physical therapy appointment, or whatever the case is, especially if it seems idiopathic, meaning that there is really no explanation of why that should have happened, why you should feel that way. The fewer times that you run to a medical specialist for these kinds of things, and the more that you just stop for a second and say, okay, what's bothering me? What may I be repressing? What is the emotion here behind it? Like, it's going to become an automatic response after you do it enough times. And the automatic response is what you want. This is the autonomic nervous system, things that you can't control, things that just happen in the background. And that's what you want to happen. You want this, you want a snap response. You have back pain, automatically, without even giving it any thought, you are checking in with yourself. Oh, hey, what's going on, like in the subconscious mind. Some people choose to coddle their subconscious mind. Other ones want to yell at it directly. It doesn't matter what the hell you do. Whatever you're going to respond to best is what's best for you. But ultimately, getting an automatic response is exactly what it is that we want. So that's kind of how I wanted to wrap up the show. Super short, 20 minutes. Next week, we've got Dr. David Schechter on the show. You know, one of the ones that I've been really looking forward to. He practices out of Southern California. He's got a book out, Think Away Your Pain. But he's going to be on the show next week. We talk about a lot of stuff. And one of the coolest parts that I think, in my opinion, is when we talk about athletes and how athletes and people that are active struggle with chronic pain and ultimately some of the underlying causes in that. And I think it's really neat because Kelsey Graham, who was on the show last week, had said that what really spoke to her was ultimately Dr. David Schechter's book, and he's on the show next week. So I think it's pretty cool that those are sandwiched in between today's show. So thanks again so much for listening, guys. Again, feel free to DM me. I've got a group on Facebook. It's called the Mind and Fitness Podcast to Leaders of Pain is what I like to call it. A little dramatic, but I think it's cool. Right now, we're really just collecting members, and then there's going to start being some push content that's going to come in there. There's also a Facebook page. Go over there. Give me a like. But it's the Mind and Fitness Podcast. You can find it on there. There's no website yet. I had a website at one point, and it just it was more trouble than it was worth. And so you can get whatever it is that you need to get on Facebook, in my opinion, at least at this point. I got a few DMs from people that sound like maybe they want some guidance or some coaching. It may be something that I want to charge for in the future. You know, by all means, feel free to reach out to me. I would love to help you. I'd love for you to get your life back. Again, I'm stronger than I ever have been physically, and I feel like I am stronger mentally than I have ever been. And I you know, you can get there as well. So thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I am Eddie Lindenstein. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.